Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 12th on the West Coast, now August the 13th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to also welcome those who may be listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. Well, there's a lot to discuss this evening. I just finished a two-hour show and got a chance to get a glass of water and get my voice back again. I'm not really losing it. It's just a little bit raspy, but those things happen when you're doing a lot of talking. And certainly maybe a little bit sleep-deprived, but not a whole lot, just a little more than I would like. And I'm sure you know how that feels. But we're going to make it through tonight's show. Normally, this is a night where I bring on a good friend who hosts his own show, A Marine's Disquisition, heard on both Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com, Drew Malone Rains III. But Drew urged me to have tonight's guest on. He is my regular Monday night guest and brought him on board tonight because he's got some very important things that he wants to share with our listeners here. And with that, I welcome the host of The Story Behind the Story, heard Monday through Fridays on the Micro Effect. He's a naturopath, author, researcher, and somewhat of a whistleblower, my good friend, Dr. A. Truat. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks again, Don. It's a pleasure to be on. And yeah, I've been operating on very little sleep too. Since we talked and shared our story earlier tonight on my show, 2 a.m., 2:30 a.m. and going full steam with meetings and travel and all of that. Need a little bit more than just two hours sleep a night, but it's okay. we're burning the oil. We need to continue the discussion and the expose of something that's very, very important. And I'll leave it up to you as to which direction you want to take this tonight. But I submit that the history of something called the Purple Gang in the Roaring Twenties is really important to discuss tonight for various reasons. And if you let me just kind of set the stage, unless you want to go somewhere else.
No, you are my guest. In fact, it's appropriate to say be my guest. So,
we're talking, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining in and don't really know what's going on, there's a couple of individuals named Dr. Lenny Horowitz and Sherry Kane, who's just out of the blue to me, as far as I'm concerned, attacked me viciously and purposefully. Over an email that I never even sent, concerning a guy named Greg Szymanski. Now, I know Greg Szymanski in just this way. He contacted me to appear on his radio show over three years ago, discussing my story behind the story of the true origins of the Mormon Church. With my missionary service in the New York Rochester area, while serving as a zone leader in the church in a suburb of Syracuse, New York, I, long story short, made the acquaintance of a Jesuit priest who was in the capacity of a records keeper in New York City. And Christmas Eve, we went to Christmas Mass with him and his sister, who happened to be our landlady. We leased a room from her. For whatever reason, this gentleman became open with me, talking about many things that he knew based on his archives access in the Jesuit Library in New York City. He basically just explained what he knew about the true origins of the Book of Mormon to me. I was stunned. I was amazed in many ways. But
by the accuracy of what he shared with you, or is it?
No, just I was amazed that he knew all of this. You're 20 years old. You think you know a lot. You think you're the biggest and best thing, you know, since sliced bread. Because in Mormonism, at least, that's what they, you know, indoctrinate you to believe, that you have the gift and power of God, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, you think you're invincible. And you think you have the truth, but really, as it turns out, in retrospect, I didn't have a thing. I was a mere babe.
Mm-hmm.
But he explained to me the connections to the Jesuit order and really the Book of Mormon origins. And this, you know, we don't have the time to go into all that on this show. But we did a series of shows of interviews that Samaski gave to me, and I told him this is based on my journal entries and my mission. This is absolutely true and factual information. And that's the end of it. Now, then Samaski would drop me an email once or twice with some things he would ask my opinion on. And that's it, my opinion, my subjective opinion and speculation.
In what regard?
2007, he asked me if I knew anything about, since I'm in the naturopathic field, if I knew anything about Dr. Lenny Horowitz. And I believe it was in a phone conversation. I said, yeah, I've met the man briefly. He asked me what I thought about him. I said, I think he's genius. I think he's got a tremendous gift of research, and I think highly of him at this point. I says I know that much of his research, however, was really conducted by Dr. Joey Paleo, and what portion was actually original research by Lenny is questionable. But yet he's articulate, he's energetic, and he exposes things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, do you realize who the Knights of Malta are? And I said, yeah, I've got a tremendous library of secret societies. I studied masonry to the hilt. I know all about Knights of Malta. He says, do you know of the Knights Hospitaller? And I says, they're a medical division of the Knights of Malta and masonry. He says, right on. He said, do you know that Lenny Horowitz was just knighted into the Knights Hospitaller? I said, I didn't know that. That's the first I heard from it. Was from Greg. And he gave me the source references to prove that out. And I, right then, my estimation of Dr. Len Horowitz went from very, very high to really on the high suspect list for these reasons. This is my rationale. And, you know, this is how my thought process works, Don. Well, if you're truly a champion of health freedom, if you're truly a champion of exposing Big Pharma, if you're truly a champion of exposing the horrors of vaccination, the manufactured emerging viruses, okay, then why would you join in with the very arm that, if you really do the research, is tied to the very Club of Rome, the very people that are doing these atrocities? Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what I found out in my research. That's my personal research. That's the Club of Rome, the authors of Codex Alimentarius, the very dastardly way they hide themselves. And just like the mafioso, Don, they don't appear to the general public to be anything but a legitimate businessman. They want to pose as legitimate businessmen. The arms of Freemasonry want you to believe they're nothing but a group of good people working for humanitarian purposes. But that's the sheep's clothing that the wolf is hiding behind.
Yeah, the upper rank, and we're talking about those at 33 degrees and above, hold a secret, don't they?
Oh, they do. And
keep the secret from the, let's say, the Blue Lodge members and many of the low class.
Yeah, the so-called profane levels. Now, is the question I have always had, and I pose this, I believe, to Szymanski. Well, is Horowitz operating at the profane level, which is, you know, where many, many good men and women do? They just go about their business doing acts of charity and good works. Or is he really behind the scenes something much more? But see, suddenly there's questioning going on. Eyebrows raised. And rightfully so. But as I emailed Cain and Horowitz, I was willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. I have for all these years. Okay, I judge people by their works, Don, not by subjective innuendo. I try to, okay? I try to. So, okay, he was knighted. All right, let's see what the man does with it. That's my wait-and-see attitude, okay? So, in just a one-sentence speculation, I said, but it makes me wonder why, you know, shortly after a visit to Cedar City, Utah by Horowitz, shortly thereafter, weeks after, I'm arrested and charged with a Class 1 felony for doing my research work. Now, that's just a question. What about this? Is there anything to it? Nothing to me. It's just a trial balloon. Is there anything to this? And it's very important to me, Don, because of who really, I believe, rescued me out of that trap. The World Naturopathic Health Organization and a man named Dr. James DeSalt, who flew in from Washington, D.C., flew to Las Vegas, the closest airport, got a rental car, drove to Cedar City, Utah, and appeared in my preliminary hearing with an amicus brief that totally changed the whole tenor of my preliminary hearing. The presiding judge, Braithwaite, said, let's go to chambers. The prosecuting attorneys, the FDA in doppel suits, went in. They were there 10 or 15 minutes, came out, gavel, ruling, case dismissed, goodbye, go. DeSalt goes from my hearing to Vegas to board a flight to, I believe, Phoenix or Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And there he meets with another embattled naturopath who's facing similar harassment and charges from the powers that be. Long story short, they're both heinously shot to death, murdered. Now, the message came to me from sources I trust in Washington, D.C. That's where I got the news. And the Office of the World Naturopathic Health Organization were were firebombed, were basically destroyed with all of their source documents, with all of their chartering documents from Dresden, Germany, priceless documents that survived World War II's firebombing of Dresden. All these things were gone, poof, along with the bullet in the brain of Dr. Dassault. The sources that I talked to basically said, I said, who would do such a thing? The government? Would agents of the FDA be involved in this terrible thing? The response was from a very shrewd investigator that I can't name names. This was back many years ago now, maybe three or four or five years ago. The suspect organization was a rival world naturopathic group, but very steeped in New Age mysticism, doing some pretty weird things, like spirit readings and this type of thing. And they were tied to the Knights Hospitalier, a Dr. McWilliams. Well, finding out about the knighting of Lynn from Szymanski, I did a little checking, and that's exactly who knighted, or at least nominated, Horowitz to be knighted, the same guy. Now, again, this is hearsay. I got to say that for the record, from sources, yes, that are intelligent sources to me. I asked him, will there be arrests and prosecutions? Oh, of course not. This is a very powerful secret society. They're not going to be charged or arrested for this. And more importantly, the murder of Dassault was officially classified a suicide. One of the two shot the other and then committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's official, case closed.
And that occurred at the, I believe you said on a previous show, on your show, yesterday, that this was a chiropractor, right?
I believe so. He was also a naturopathic doctor / chiropractor, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, many chiropractors are into homeopathic remedies. So, yeah.
So, there you go. Wow. Obviously, McWilliams thinks enough of Lenny's, Horowitz's work to knight him. Now, again, the benefit of the doubt is readily granted. That's why I never made it an issue. You never saw me bad-mouthing Horowitz. You never saw me openly questioning him. Others have, but you haven't seen me doing that, and I don't think you have, ever. Okay? So, this 3-year-old email communication to Szymanski suddenly becomes an issue to Horowitz after all these years. And while I'm gone on business, he phones my office, talks to my wife. He probably didn't know who she was, but talks to my wife and upsets her. Starts, leveling her about, why does he do this? I bought the machine from him. I bought this from him. He never mentioned that he had these problems with me. Lenny, listen up. It didn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me, but you've made it an issue. Now it matters to me. Because you're totally off the playing field in lunacy with this thing. So, like I said, methinks he protesteth way too much. Out of the blue, suddenly I am an evil conspirator of the Vatican, working with Szymanski and Tim White and others to commit murder and to, assassinate Cain and Horowitz. I mean, it's schizophrenia and lunacy. That's just what's happened. So, well, the cards are on the deck now. And like I said in my email, the gloves are coming off. You want to declare war? You want to fight? You want to slander Truot? You want to defame Don Nikoloff and say that he's implicated in the murders of Chris Story and Don Harkins? Well, you better be prepared to take a return salvo, because it's coming.
Well, there's no actual evidence or proof other than maybe two sentences that were on Chris Story's website on the homepage on July 30th, 16 days after his alleged death. So we don't even know that this charge or this claim that Chris Story is dead is even true.
So why the smear campaign? What's possessed this Kane lady to blog about me as if I'm some evil character? So obviously there's something deeper going on here. I, again, on my radio show, I've been exposing a timeline of the Khazarian so-called Jews. They're Jews by choice and conversion in a religion, not a racial Jew. And that's clearly historically evident, no matter how much the powers that be, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, want to say differently. That's the reality of genealogical history.
Yeah, which has even been transformed into a political ideology.
Yeah, so suddenly you start talking about the Khazarian bloodlines. Suddenly, Miss Kane, who's Khazarian bloodline, no doubt about it, Horowitz, Khazarian bloodline, suddenly starts smearing me as a Jew hater, an anti-Semite, and a white supremacist. Now, I will not put up with that. I will not put up with that. And my attorneys are watching things very closely right now. The accusations made against me and against you. I have money in the bank that I will gladly put into a lawsuit if this is what it comes down to. Now, the floodgates have opened now, and I've done research, and you've done research, and have dug deeper, and what I'm finding out makes me heartsick. This is not a clearly not an innocent mistake on Horowitz and Kane's part. It's with intent, malicious intent. Don, there's no doubt in my mind now.
And this, you know, I'm unclear because somehow I was included in this email, this series of emails, and I'm busy doing my research. I'm not monitoring email around the clock, and I'm thinking, why am I on this? Why am I reading this? Why has this been sent to me? Because none of it made any sense. It was very dysfunctional. There was this accusation that Dr. Horowitz, from what I could tell, there was this accusation that he had been outed, I'll use that term, of being on a list of members of the Knights of Malta. Now, I don't know that that's true or not true, but it wasn't even a concern of mine.
This was Szymanski's list or Fulford's list?
I'm not even certain.
So here's the salient point. The Knights of Malta are this select group of its echelons and divisions of P2 Freemasonry. A subset of the Knights of Malta are the Knights Hospitaller. By Horowitz and Kane's own admission, he's knighted. He's a party. So he is a part of the Knights of Malta. He's a subset of it. So why is he fighting and saying he's falsely not supposed to be on this list of the Knights of Malta? He clearly is. The Knights Hospitaller, you can be a subset of the Mormon Church, for instance, your little branch out in Podunk, Utah, does that mean you're not a member of the Salt Lake Church? You know, it's literally that type of a tentacle. Just because you're off on one part of the octopus tentacle doesn't mean you're not tied to the octopus, Dr. Horowitz.
Mm-hmm. True. So, if I could just interject something, because you're reminding me of something
that was
in my research on the Bush clan, mm-hmm. who identified as the Sherfs, Ashkenazis, okay? Khazarians, if you want to call them that. If I threw some names, I won't throw them. I'll just state them. I'll say a name. You tell me if you think this was a member of the Knights of Malta. Paul Warburg.
I would say yes.
James Loeb.
Of Kuhn, Loeb and Company? Yes.
The Harriman brothers.
Absolutely.
George Herbert Walker.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, Walker is a connection to the Jesuits.
Yes.
Okay. Through Stonyhurst. We know that. He went to Stonyhurst. He is credited as having spearheaded the 1904 World's Fair. And upon the conclusion of, oh, by the way, they made sure that they got indigenous people from various jungles. Pygmies were put in cages on display at that World's Fair. Tells you the mindset of those people. That was one of the more notorious things Walker handled. And he is the person that Prescott Bush, who became his son-in-law, named his son after, George Herbert Walker Bush. But the real name is Sherf. So Bush implies British, Walker implies British, but these are Ashkenazis. It's clear.
Sure.
It's indisputable.
Sherf.
Sherf, yes.
Sure.
So I just wanted to interject that because that ties together.
Well, that brings the point back. You know, I have not seen any of this. I didn't care about any of this. I'm too busy. I got so many things going on. I've got clients to meet with. I've got people to consult with. My day is 20 hours a day. I don't need this crap, okay, which is what it is. It's dysfunctional garbage. So, well, if you're attacked, you got to respond to a certain degree, or you ignore the source. Well, so I took Kane's paper or blog and followed the links. And so there's Fulford there. That's where I learned who he was. I saw his supposed list. And the list, whether it's Szymanski's list or whoever put it out, I'll tell you one thing that I will say. I found that Horowitz's name was out of place there. It didn't make sense. In other words, I don't think he's that big of a cheese. All the other names in there are like Henry Kissinger. These are big names.
Mm-hmm.
With all due respect to Dr. Horowitz, he's not in that same league. He's not an arch criminal of that stripe. That struck me. I don't, you know, it was out of place. I wonder if that's not part of a smear campaign too on that. But to say I had something to do with that and you had something to do with that, no. No, you know what I'm saying, Don?
I mean, I've read many of Dr. Horowitz's articles and his research, and I have great respect for the research he does. It's meticulous.
Yeah.
And to compare Benjamin Fulford with him. Fulford makes many mistakes grammatically. I mean, his work is not even proofread.
He does all this research, then why is he smearing me and you, which is not good research? If he does his homework, he knows that I'm not the enemy. He knows that you're not the enemy. And more importantly, you're not an assassin.
Oh, my. You know, that's totally ridiculous.
So there's the credibility shot out the window, which brings me back to square one. What's the Knights Hospitaller all about? Why was he knighted? Why did he accept it? See, and out of the blue, I didn't solicit this response, but out of the blue, in my many conversations during the swine flu exposés we were doing with Dr. Bill Deagle, constant radio broadcasts, I don't know of anybody else that did more research, burning the midnight oil weekends, sometimes 24 hours a day, than myself and Bill Deagle. Many things were brought together. And we shared these findings with whistleblowers like Alex Jones, not the mouth from Texas, but Alexander S. Jones, who brought many, many incredible things to the table. The Gene Clade research, the outing of other big names that are behind the scenes with this, Taubenberger's team. You know, what gets me is this. We're outing these ties to AIPAC. This is a Mossad operation of a lab virus. See, I don't see Horowitz exposing this arm of it. I think it's like it's being protected, and now he's outing that he and Burgermeister were the ones that did it. But oh, please. Burgermeister hasn't done a tenth of the research that Alexander Jones, myself, and Deagle put together. So much of what we put out, thousands of pages of research, was cut and pasted and made into their own. Other researchers, other vaccine liberation. You ask Don Harkin was alive, you'd ask him who did the most research of anybody in the world on this. He'll tell you Dr. H. Ruat. And I think Ingrid Cassell will validate that. I have emails constantly. Nobody's doing it.
Yeah.
So
and Don Harkins did. Don Harkins did tell me that. So
nobody else exposed this like I did to the point of the bird. I did the bird flu hoax video before the swine flu was even thought of. And I told in my video, my PowerPoint presentation, this will be a pandemic, but I don't believe they'll call it a bird flu because of my exposition. I have it on record from going on radio talk shows in the South, in Florida. I was on with Carmen Reynolds, who was a great researcher. Carmen Reynolds called into the show and verified from a source that she has that the Council on Foreign Relations had a meeting for 2 hours dissecting Dr. Truot's expose on the bird flu hoax. How did he know this? Who leaked the information to him? And so they had to change their plan. They couldn't call it a bird flu pandemic anymore, could they?
I'm not trying to toot my horn here, but I had written a piece on the IBM document that predicted in 2006 a pandemic that was supposed to occur sometime between 2009 and a 5-year span on an official announcement from the World Health Organization. And they were just talking about how they were going to quarantine their people and keep business as usual going on. I thought that was extremely telling in light of the fact that all of a sudden, I mean, we heard nothing about anybody having any kind of flu. It started with a pandemic. Where do you go to there?
The bottom line is, over a period of 2 months, Jane Burgermeister rose from a nobody to suddenly an expert because of all of the documentation that I fed to her, email after email, Alexander S. Jones, myself, Deagle, she was part of our team. And then because of a Sorcia Fowle article linking her to the death of Michael Jackson,
Which is a psyop in itself.
A psyop in itself. And after she was on my show, radio show, live from Austria, who was, you know, I was talking to her with as to getting her take on all of this, as I trusted her. She doesn't return phone calls to me nor emails. It's like she drops off the face of the earth. Right when Sorcia Fowles' article comes out about Michael Jackson's death, on the record, Don, here's what happened. She told me before she went on the air with me on my radio show, she says, in her proper accent, her British or Irish accent, "Oh, I got great news," she said. "A major celebrity is going to speak for us, and he's going to bring a lot of money to the anti-vaccine and to the expose's cause, to our group's cause." I said, "Well, that is good news. Could you tell me who it is?" No, it's too premature. Don't want to tell you. But he's big, and this means a lot of money. So she told me that, but didn't tell me the name. Then the Sorcia Fowles article comes out that Sorcia Fowles, David Booth, as of Rachel, the connection going back akin to the daughters of Rachel, the Jewish connection again in Israel. I say that with respect, not denigration. Suddenly come out with this piece of intelligence, right or wrong, good or bad, it just was there.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I may say so, too, you know, a lot of people say that the person who was Sorcia Fowles is this David Booth.
He's definitely connected to it, and he's definitely MI6.
When you do a person search on David Booth, the first name that comes up is Rebecca Booth.
Sure. But that's a connection to the sisters of Rachel, Rebecca, Rachel.
Let's use some logic. I don't mean to interrupt, but sure. Let's address that. What if you put the name David into a search engine in a database? Why does it bring up the letter R? Why does it bring up the name Rebecca?
Well, I don't know, Don. But I do know this, Sorcia Fowles is an acronym for As of Rachel. And it goes back to the history of an underground resistance movement during World War II, a Jewish resistance movement.
The answer to that question is really because it's obfuscation. It's an intelligence operation.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
On the Internet database.
Sure. No doubt about that. Yes. And so, but again, does that not mean that they don't have truth too? Do they put out 90% truth for a 10% spin? Mm-hmm. I see a lot of that happening with their posts. A lot of them are right on, a lot of them are not.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of give and take. But and I understand that, and I'm not saying they're infallible. What I am saying is that the story with Michael Jackson and Burgermeister rang true based on what Burgermeister told me personally.
And there's a common link between those two.
There's a common link. So I have a Jewish friend, a very close Jewish friend in Los Angeles who called me and said, "Wow, this is amazing. You told me about Burgermeister and her major celebrity, now Sorcia Fowles is this way." And she was so excited she could hardly even stand it. And I said, "I don't know. I haven't been able to get a hold of Burgermeister for comment." And then she said, my friend in L.A., "Is she okay? If this Sorcia Fowles article is true, and Jackson was hit because he was going to put all this money into Burgermeister's group, and he's a fan of Burgermeister, maybe she's not safe."
Well, those Sorcia Fowles articles true begin with the phrase, "as reported to her Western subscribers."
Yes.
First of all,
yes.
I don't know anybody who subscribes to that. But then they say rumors in the Kremlin. It begins with that.
And again, I'm not debating the validity of source, just other than the story was put out.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's questions, is Jane Burgermeister safe? Now, on the record, at this point, Bill Deagle, myself, Dr. Carley, Rebecca Carley, another Rebecca, in back east, we're all part of a team. Alexander S. Jones, others. Henry Nyman was, you know, consult. This is our core team.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up the. I'm traveling. I'm on the road. So I cell phone call. First of all, Rebecca Carley, first of all, Bill Deagle, and I just get his answering machine, and I said, "Dr. Bill, give me a call concerning this Sorcha Fowl story." And Burgermeister, I'm concerned that she hasn't, I can't get a hold of her. It's like she's dropped off the face of the earth for 4 days. Is she safe? Have you heard from her? Then I called Carley. And I did get a hold of Carley. She was very curt, very unfriendly. And normally she doesn't come across that way to me. It was like, I don't want to talk to you anymore type of thing. And I told her, you know, my concerns and asked if she had gotten hold of Burgermeister. And she said, no, I haven't, but I'll keep trying. I says, I'm at least a day away from any internet. So let me know, please. I'm concerned. And that was the end of it. This was 4th of July of last year. And I was traveling to do some for a week out of the office. I get back a week later, Don, and I've got dozens of emails from Carley and Burgermeister that, of course, I haven't answered because I haven't been on the internet for over 10 days. And suddenly I've got the horns of the devil because I'm Burgermeister out of the blue, just like Sherry Kane out of the blue, said, "How dare you start spreading false lies about me and Michael Jackson?" As if I wrote the article of Sorcha Fowl.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "That's ridiculous. I'm trying to see if you're safe. I'm trying to see if you're." If you're alive and healthy, why are you taking me apart like this? Don't talk to me, Ott. It suddenly went, just like Sherry Kane, went from True or Dr. Ott to Ott. We know who you are, Ott. You're out. You're outed. You're false, Ott. I mean, the same rhetoric spewed out by Kane and Horowitz is now Burgermeister. I'm the enemy. I'm in league with Big Pharma. I'm dangerous. Get this. I'm a Satanist and a Nazi. It's the response from me just talking to Carley, asking if she was safe, is suddenly I'm the maker of the virus itself. Now, is that logical? Is that rational? No, and suddenly from there I began to question Burgermeister. Did she really file these charges with the FBI? Did she really file this lawsuit she claims that she filed in America? So I began to dig and began to ask the FBI and found out she didn't. It was all a lie.
She was claiming she filed a lawsuit or filed charges, I should say, with the FBI in Austria.
Yeah.
Do they have an office in Austria?
No,
they don't. And Drew Raines investigated that. And Elizabeth Book and her hiring Tim Vauder, who Burgermeister denied knowing, but she said that Burgermeister recommended Tim Vauder. That's how she got his name. And he's tied to Affymetrics and likely Henry Nyman.
So here we get the I don't return Horowitz's call because there's nothing to talk about. I mean, there's really nothing that I can explain to him that he's not going to. He's already got his mind made up. He's on the warpath. Let it go. Then Sherry Kane calls me and first of all acts like she's this independent, objective reporter that has no ties at all to Horowitz. Like, tell me about what you know about Horowitz and the Knights, you know, his appointment, whatever. And I saw right through that, and I said, no, aren't you associated with him, you know? And then suddenly, for the next 5 minutes, she's defending Burgermeister like she's some kind of Joan of Arc, return of the Fabulous Four heroine. I don't know. She's a goddess to her. And I said, no, we not have nothing to discuss if you keep this going on. This woman has absolutely no credibility. I wouldn't believe a word she said. And if she is being under suspicion of arrest, it's probably warranted because of wire fraud. She solicited donations, who knows how many hundreds of thousands of dollars of donations to her, based on false, fraudulent information. She never filed these charges with the FBI. She never filed any lawsuit. She didn't. It's a scam, and that's the definition of wire fraud. So in my book, she probably should serve some jail time, and she should return the money at least.
Yeah, we don't know that story is true either, though, do we?
What's that?
This story that's surfaced recently that she's under arrest and investigation for fraud.
You don't know that's true. She sent out in her blog, Don, many, many times that she has filed criminal charges against A. Truat, that she's filed a lawsuit of defamation and libel and slander against Truat. She said that many times as if it was fact. And sorry, but if she's filed it, I don't know where maybe she filed it in the trash can, because I haven't seen it. And there's nothing to file against. I'm just telling the truth. There is no criminal charges filed with the FBI. End of story. It's a lie. It's fraud. It's wire fraud, ladies and gentlemen. So when she says she's being harassed and living a suicide note, it's all another poor me ploy to send her more money, in my opinion.
Well, I would have to agree with you. I mean, none of her story makes any sense. And I was interested in seeing, you know, literally interested in what kind of work was she writing before she got into investigating, you know, pharmaceutical companies, vaccinations, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, what kind? Yeah.
How did she become so famous so rapidly?
Yeah, what does she write? She was
years. Okay.
She was writing green articles. She was writing environmental pieces.
Well, I scoured the internet, and you know how thorough I am, and I eventually, after I had remarked on several radio shows that there's nothing online you can find, I still went looking, and with little effort, all of a sudden there are some articles from 2006 that appeared. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't anything significant. I can't even recall what they were about.
They were about green issues. I read some of them about environmental issues. I forget the company that she was employed by.
The British Medical Journal is what.
Okay, BMJ, right, yeah. BMJ. And she publicly in her blog said, because of her activism on exposing these horrors, they fired her from her job. Well, I did some research into that. No, they let her go because she wasn't doing anything for him. She wasn't writing a thing for him. She was dead weight.
Yeah, I had the impression, the distinct impression, that suddenly appeared, you know, at the top of a search after I had remarked on this on two or three shows. There's nothing I can find about journalism there, which is kind of like the situation you're talking about right now, too.
Oh, the email exchange between her and me, where she attacked me as a Satanist, of openly promoting satanic rituals. Oh my goodness! I mean, this is out completely baseless and you talk about libelous, and sending it out, you know, worldwide. Now, all I ever did to merit this was saying, "Show me the charges. Show me, tell me the names of the agents that you filed these with." It's a simple request. It's not libelous or slanderous to ask for the names and verification of your story. Suddenly I'm a Nazi, a Jew hater. All of these pat slurs, the same slurs coming out of Cain's mouth and Horowitz's mouth. Doesn't make sense, Don, it doesn't.
Well, you brought up Szymanski, and there's this website called Bible Believers. I don't know if it's .org or .com, but there's a document online. Now, I don't even know if this is a legitimate document, because I don't know what Australian court records look like when they post them on the Internet. But it looks suspiciously like a document Leo Wanta would put on the Internet. And why do I bring up that name? Because in my communications over several years with Christopher Story, almost as long as my communications with Don Harkins, by the way, I discovered that Wanta wasn't who he said he was. And Story didn't know that. And I tried alerting him to that, and eventually he realized that. Eventually, he came to that understanding. And I have the email to back this up, so I'm not just making an outlandish statement.
Yeah, right? You don't do that. Mm-hmm.
All right? And I gave him specificity as to what. But I revisited the Principality of Snake Hill, which is one of Wanta's new scams. And this was a money laundering scam in the vicinity of Mudgee, Australia, north of Sydney, about 60 miles or so. And maybe, I don't know the exact distance, I would guess maybe another 10, 20 miles to the northeast is a town called Tamford. And that's where this website, Bible Believers, is registered. And there's an alleged lawsuit against that website for anti-Semitic type of postings there. And it's supposed to be a reverend that runs it, a man by the name of Anthony Grigor Scott. Mm-hmm. And that rings very similar to an alias I found for Greg Szymanski, which is Greg Anthony Scott. You know, a little word game.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. I don't know, Don. I all these things about Szymanski, I don't know. And I frankly don't know if I want to even go there. I have nothing against Szymanski.
I don't either, but yeah. I just found it interesting to look into that. I read that article and I thought, what is this? What is this here? But I found it very suspicious because Szymanski was the only person able to interview Leo Wanta.
That's important, yeah.
And Chris Story. Okay? The connection between all these people is George H.W. Bush. Leave Chris Story out of that, other than, you know, he was obviously an enemy. Anyone who speaks out against that being is an enemy.
Well, yeah, and we're almost out of time, Don, but I really did want to focus on this, the link to the Purple Gang. And,
sure, go ahead. I didn't mean to get you off track.
Oh, no. This is all important, but, you know, golly, time really flies, doesn't it, when you're on the hot subject. But it's just funny how things come full circle. It really is. In the early 1910s, ladies and gentlemen, there's a researcher in that graduated from the University of Michigan, a PhD in chemistry, and then he became a licensed medical doctor. His name is Dr. Koch, K-O-C-H. Dr. Koch did a number of incredible breakthroughs in oxygen therapy, okay? Concurrently with what Koch was doing in the Detroit, Michigan area, we have Nikola Tesla doing his work with light energy and killing viruses, helping people, for instance, during the 1918 pandemic to rid their bodies of this danger with a violet ray beam, violet-colored ray beam. Koch and his group of researchers in Detroit did something called a Koch therapy. It was basically an oxygenation homeopathic structure. They were documenting incredible reverses in advanced states of cancer. Part and parcel to this was this energy machine called a violet ray beam. Now, I have the original papers and documents of Koch and this violet ray beam that they began to manufacture there in Detroit. He had basically contracted with some of the automakers that are in Detroit, an assembly line, basically modeled after Henry Ford's plant, was constructed. There were all of these incredible orders coming in, large scale, for this machine, which back in that time frame, in the early 1920s, this machine was equivalent of about $4,000 or $5,000 today. And they were selling them like hotcakes to medical practitioners. Well, suddenly it's all shut down. And Dr. Koch is arrested and harassed with an amazing vindictiveness. And you read the events that happened, the manufacturers of the violet ray beam, their families, some of their family members were kidnapped. They were extorted. The factory was attacked, burned, arsoned, was there. And long story short, the violet ray beam, because of all of these attacks, became an extinct dinosaur. The individuals responsible for this attack were known as the Purple Gang. Now, Purple Gang, you know, this is a Wikipedia. You can just, anybody can Google up the Purple Gang. And this is Wikipedia's words, not an anti-Semite named Truot. Here is the Purple Gang's entry in Wikipedia, and I quote, The Purple Gang consisted of Jewish immigrants who engaged in theft and armed robbery along Detroit's notorious Hastings Street. They operated between Detroit and Chicago and would meet behind the Bohm Theater or in secret places in houses of Albion, Michigan, a small town halfway between the two points, Detroit and Chicago. The gang supposedly received their name during a conversation between two Detroit market owners, each of them gang victims. One owner made the comment, "They're rotten, purple, like the color of bad meat." So that's where they got the Purple Gang. Okay? Quote, "The Purples were really a very loose confederation of Jewish gangsters. The gang started as a group of juvenile delinquents on the Lower East Side of Detroit, a group of about 15 or 16 children from the same neighborhood. Mostly they were involved in the usual petty crime of juveniles, rolling drunks and stealing from hucksters," according to author Paul Kaviv. bootlegging netted the Purple Gang millions of dollars, but the mob was also involved in extortion, hijacking, and jewelry theft. Well, the extortion we're talking about here, Don, is what happened with the Violet Ray Beam people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
After the repeal of Prohibition in the 1930s, the Purple Gang members joined the growing National Crime Syndicate. They were talking about the Meyer Lanskys and others of that ilk in Las Vegas, operating in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Miami, Florida, New York, and Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And Seattle.
Yeah. Okay, here's the salient point. The Purple Gang also attempted to run gambling rings in Detroit, especially among the black population. This was run by Julius Horowitz, the son of the sugar supplier to the breweries, and a one-legged black gangster wanted in the South for murder. The operation was successful until the gamblers learned that the Purple Gang, and thus Julius Horowitz, had been using loaded dice and other tricks to keep it profitable. A riot followed from which Horowitz escaped, but the black gangster was believed killed. The Purple Gang was suspected to have played a substantial role in the St. Valentine's Day massacre in Chicago. The Purple Gang was exceptionally violent, constantly at war with other gangs, with each other. Is that safe to say they had a very short fuse? They were very, very hot-tempered. They would beat somebody's head in at a drop of a hat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Newspapers would also carry stories of gang murders on both sides of their conflicts, which were constant during the gang's existence. Now get this. The Purple Gang was considered prime suspects in the case of the Lindbergh baby. Now, Don, do you remember what that was about?
I sure do. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That was a kidnapping murder.
Yeah, and for what purpose? Charles Lucky Lindbergh was the one of the biggest movers and shakers trying to stop this takeover of the central bank of the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
Now, so here we have a Julius Horowitz. Here we have the ties into this gang being paid mercenaries for the banksters. There's no doubt about this. No doubt about this. Well, Julius Horowitz was the son of the primary sugar supplier to the breweries of the Prohibition liquor, ladies and gentlemen. This is significant because in the 1920s, during the Prohibition era, the only supplier of sugar, there was a group that held a monopoly on sugar, and that was the Mormon Church, the LDS Church, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to get sugar to Canada, if you're going to get sugar to the distilleries to make the whiskey, where are you going to get it in bulk from? You got to get it from the Mormons. Here's Julius Horowitz, the son of this guy that brokered the sugar to him. Again, I asked Dr. Joey Paleo, what would bring Dr. Len Horowitz from Boston, or from Cambridge and his roots in Harvard, where he went to school, to little old Sandpoint, Idaho? I mean, this is a backwater nothing. It's a place where you can come and be a white supremacist if you want, but, I mean, it seems out of place. Like I said earlier, Leonard G. Horowitz's name on the list of those prominent Knights of Malta, with all due respect to that, he's not prominent enough. He's no Henry Kissinger, okay? He's no Kunin Loeb. What brings them to Little Idaho? That's, you know, these are questions that just I still have to this day, especially knowing now the connection to Horowitz and the Purple Gang. Now, do we even know that it's the same family? Well, the Horowitz name is fairly common, okay, but not that common. I would suspect there's some relations going on there. What's your comments, Don?
Well, I have a lot of questions, but we're about out of time. There's a reference, you know, in this article that, you know, you have a one-legged black man who was believed killed. Would it not be easy to identify a one-legged black man if he was killed in that incident? And who was that person? Do you know?
I
know.
No, I don't. This is a Wikipedia article that obviously has been, you know, sanitized quite
tailored. Yes.
Yeah.
And went through a Chinese laundry several times. I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Nothing against Chinese laundry. So they do good job. That's, you know, I'm.
You're anti-Chinese. You're.
Oh no. No.
You're anti-Oriental. I'm turning you in.
I used to have my tux shirts done, you know, when I was on the road at Chinese laundries because they were the only ones that could get the collars to stay in place. And I didn't even want to wash them to not remove the excellent job they did. No, I'm joking. I did wash them, though, but I let them wash them. It's a figure of speech, folks.
I know. We know. We know. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions there. I'm sure that if we dig deep enough, we can find the family tree. But do we even need to go there?
I'm not even interested in that.
I'm not into either. I'm not at all. But you know what? I'll go as far down this rabbit hole as I'm forced to go. Okay? If these attacks continue, if these unsubstantiated smears continue, well, I'll continue digging, and I'll continue to pay private investigators to find this stuff. Now, who has skeletons in their closet that need to be covered? I don't. My lineage goes back to the immigrants from Germany. I mean, I'm clean as a whistle. I have no ties to mob violence. I just want to be left alone. And I want my family to be left alone. And I want my grandchildren to live in peace in a free country. That's my motivation. You know, when they start saying that we, the people, are going to investigate Truot and expose him for who he is. Well, what kind of a threat is that? We, the people, is me. I am we, the people. Don Nikoloff is we, the people. We are here standing and fighting for truth. So, that's all I needed to say tonight, Don.
Yeah. I'm not one to question Dr. Horowitz's faith. He seems to be a man of faith, and I have respect for anyone that is not shy about, saying that, you know, and demonstrating that. I will say that in many of the historical pieces that I've written about presidents with Ashkenazi backgrounds, I don't see how they can make a smooth transition to Presbyterian or Mormonism or Episcopalian or Southern Baptist. They can pretend that's part of the mission.
Okay. Yeah, Don, you got that right. But here's another really point, and I'll close with this point. There's no doubt Len Horowitz is a smart man. He's very smart. He's articulate. He's energetic, and he does when he's on the right point, there's nobody better in doing what he does. He's good at that.
Yeah.
The point I'm making to you, Don, is, hey, why isn't he investigating Dov Zakheim and the $2.3 plus trillion missing announced by Rumsfeld on September 10th before the events of September 11th of 2001? Why is this connection to the dancing Israelis, the Citizens Commission of 9/11, why is that not even in his agenda? You know, he'll sit there and just and take a little pot shot here and there, the Rothschild banker this, the put options this, and he'll do all of that, but he's not ever going to go to the real heart of the matter, in my opinion. Why? He's smart. Why isn't he focusing on this? And I asked him that in email. It's totally ignored. You see, that's the issue. Is there disinformation in the form of again, look over here while we're sucker punching you over here? That's the very definition of what Knights of Malta are specialized in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are valid questions. Join if Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane are truly who they claim to be, the guardians of the truth and exposing the evildoers, don't focus on me. Don't focus on Tom Nikoloff. Hey, Dov Zakheim is the one that took trillions of dollars and took it somewhere. Let's expose them. But see, no, he is an Ashkenazi Khazarian. Maybe that's off limits. Then, again, we got a credibility problem, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So I just leave it there. I'll leave it at that. I'll continue to do what I do. I'll continue to make my voice as little as small as it is, heard as the best of my ability, and we'll let the chips fall where they may. Good night, Don.
Okay. Well, Drew, thank you so much for being on the show. Very, very interesting information, and you know, certainly something for our listeners to look at. There was a movie made about St. Valentine's Day, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And the Purple Gang, I can't recall if it was mentioned, but I even think there was a movie made about the Purple Gang called
There was. There was. I have a copy of it. I do have a – it is all about this, the story and history of the Purple Gang. They are. I mean, these guys are – You blink wrong and you've got a bullet in your head. I mean, these guys are ruthless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, Drew. And, you know, you're in our prayers. And just keep up the good work and keep up the good fight.
Oh, so you'd be safe too, Don. Appreciate your work. Thanks.
Thank you. God bless. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio and tonight's special guest, Dr. A. Drew Ott. Dr. Ott will be with us next Monday night, and we're going to continue on some topic. Don't know what that will be at this time, but in the meantime, I want to thank all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network. That word, and we have over 2 million tonight, so that's some pretty good solid numbers there. Thanks for all of your interest and loyalty in following the show in your own individual pursuit of the truth. Also want to thank blogtalkradio.com. Over at BBS Radio, want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be none other than scientist inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.